It is, of course, Mr. Mark Knopfler. How can you not recognize that guitar style, that sound, that voice? Privateering from the double CD, just getting out to stores not too long ago, and then boom, he gets another one called Tracker, and we're spinning songs off that as well. Little Fisherman's Blues as well from the Water Boys inside the set, and They Might Be Giants getting things kicked off with their brand new record. You're listening to 90.3 KMBA, 20 past the top of the hour. It is another live-in studio session. Tonight, the Young Dubliners playing at the Taproots. About 9 o'clock is where you're going to want to wander on into the Taproot and get yourself all set up. These guys have been up here for just many years, making regular trips to Alaska since when? When was that first time?
Probably 2000.
I was going to say, it's been a solid 15 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Been coming up here since that long ago.
Since it snowed up here. Remember way back then?
Yeah. Since it used to have snow in the wintertime.
Yeah,
I remember those days.
The cold place.
Man, big international tours, hundreds of shows in the U.S. You guys are a busy, busy band. TV appearances like Jimmy Kimmel, TV shows with your music on it like Sons of Anarchy. 10 albums, including the last one called Nine that was handed off to us not too long ago, just last couple of years, 2014. And today we reconnect with our Celtic rock friends and find out, geez, what they haven't done. They seem like they've done it all. Well, they haven't played the Taproot, and they're playing there tonight. So welcome once again. Let's kick into some tunes, and we'll chat here in just a little bit with the Young Dubliners.
Cool.
One, two, three, four.
There's a word that comes to mind when you go to a Young Dub show, when you hear them live in studio, when you put on your records. The word is triumphant. That word just...
I thought you were going to say chaotic.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
No, there's just a word that makes you feel like you want to raise your fist and you've just persevered something. You don't know what.
I haven't heard that. God, no, that's great.
We like that.
See, that's more in the morning when you get up the next day.
That you guys are like, yes, we made it.
It's like, is that daylight? I'm still here.
I always forget that the shows I've gone to, I start with one or two songs and think, okay, well, you know, it's getting late. Maybe I'll head out at the break. Yeah. Every show I've been to of your guys, it's been over, and I realized, oh wait, I'm still here. So there's this easy perseverance that any listener has when they do a Young Dubs show as well. When you go tonight, you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to find out that the show is over, and you couldn't believe how quick it went. You're triumphant. You're having a good time.
So we do too. Suddenly we realize the show's over. We didn't even realize we were on yet.
So these guys are returning champions, as mentioned. I mean, they're returning to Anchorage. They've been to Alaska just back in February down in Girdwood. You were at the State Fair. What makes the West Coast your guys' territory? Why is the West Coast Young Dubs country? And why keep coming to Alaska?
Well, I mean, when we first started, there was, we were in L.A., which was weird for Irish people in general. There weren't very many. It was mostly like an East Coast thing. And then, so we sort of became the first of our style in L.A., and there was, you know, Black 47 in New York and stuff like that. And other bands, you know, many more emerged over the years. But we all, west of the Rockies was sort of where we were known. And we then started going back over there, of course, and stealing their territory, too, as you do. Reversing history, going from west to east. And, Alaska became, I remember there was a guy called Kelly used to run the Beartooth, and Kelly had us come up one time. We did two nights there, and we were blown away by the response and by the support, you know, yourselves and radio.
Yeah, radio support.
Yeah, and press was
coming up here as well.
Yeah, so once we, you know, you give a band an audience like that, then we're going to keep coming back like a bad rash.
Well, we blew out the speakers on that first in-studio session. I always forget again how triumphant that sound is. So we'll see if we can dial it back a little bit here on my mics and help the audience enjoy the show. But there's a little teaser there. If you want to feel that energy, head to the show tonight. It's 9 o'clock at the Taproot. They're only in town for this one night, but heading up to Fairbanks as well. Now, again, good on you. I mean, you're getting in everything, aren't you? Valley, Girdwood, Anchorage, you're getting in.
Soon we'll be playing the Slope.
Soon they'll be up in Barrow somewhere.
Well, yeah, but again, the Blue Loon in Fairbanks and Adam up there was another one. You know, he found out Kelly brought us up, and he brought us up there then for that first weekend, and we've never stopped coming back. But this is our first chance to play Anchorage. We really have been playing the Fair and Girdwood mostly, so we wanted to do a real Anchorage gig finally, and Taproot was available, and so it just worked out great for us.
Always glad to have you back. Let's kick into a little bit more music. What can you play for us next?
Here's something from our Irish album. This is song about beating up the British. 'Twas down the glen one Easter morn, to a city fair rode I. Those armor lines a marching.
Young Dubliners live in studio at 90.3 KMBA, The Foggy Dew. That is that's a classic. That's a classic that is just sounding so right on the radio, so right at shows. And you know you want to go, so go to the show. It's happening tonight at 9 o'clock, and nobody's opening for this show.
No, we do have somebody.
I was just about to say,
we have
okay. If Orion Donnicht is opening up this show, you better get some caffeine in your system and catch up with both of these acts. Awesome. So there's going to be some fun tonight. The band is here live in studio. They handed off their CD9 to us back in 2014, and it was a little bit of a departure. And I kind of looked back at what was going on and realized there was, about a 13-year span where you guys were just jam-packed, go, go, go.
Yeah.
International dates, recordings of live shows, TV promotions. You've got record labels kind of breathing down your neck saying, we want this, we want that. And you kind of threw it all to the side and decided this is the year we do it all ourselves, right? CD called Nine was really all an independent production.
Yeah, it was the first one we did. And we thought about doing it, but, you know, labels offer you money and you think, well, you know, we'll use their money. But finally it was time, and they were asking us to do, you know, other things we didn't really feel like doing, and we felt like we knew everybody that helped us out were personal friends now. We had promoters, we had radio people, we had press people, so we just decided to do it ourselves. And possibly the only real downside to it was it took us as long as it did, because we worked constantly, you know, we never stopped touring, so we would have to record, whereas a label would come and tell you, get off the road now, and, you know, here's some money to stay put
and
finish
it. A little bit more forced.
Yeah, so we had to kind of do both things at the same time, but the result was we had time to spend and really make an album that we're proud of. So
we've been playing tracks from this CD off and on the last couple of years. We'll be sharing one a little bit later on in the show. They kicked off the set here in studio with a song called We the Mighty, which is found right on that same CD, 9. Has it been kind of constant touring since 2014 as well? Are you still on the road?
Getting
some time for yourself?
We don't really stop. You know, people always say, so is this the last day of the tour? We're like, no, this is the last day of this week. You know, next week will be the beginning of the next one. So we've always been a working band, you know, this is how we make our living. So we'll go from here now with Southern California and then Chicago and points into Europe for end of June, July. We'll do festivals over in Denmark and back here again. It's just eventually we'll just, you know, suddenly drop dead and it'll be it.
Well, I wonder if any of this comes from the idea that maybe you had to push a little harder back in the early days to get your sound on top of everything else that was going on. You and Brendan are the only you both grew up in Dublin.
Yeah.
So let's go back there for just a quick sec.
No, and, it's not.
And let's
please no.
Let's do no.
Here I'm thinking of the
no pictures.
The oddity of a Celtic band in L.A.
Yes.
So it's obviously, in a sense, a foreign sound to L.A. at the time, certainly in the 80s when it's all glam metal, and you're trying to push this sound in L.A. Yeah. So let's go back even further, though, and ask yourself, well, what was the foreign sound in Dublin? What was that foreign sound to you that you maybe were saying, geez, that strikes me as unusual? Did that draw you out in
Michael Jackson
the early years?
Was a Thriller.
See, there you go.
It was American music. Yeah.
We were listening
to the top 40 stuff we were listening to.
And we had a lot of, you know, we had Top of the Pops in England, so that was, you know, there was a lot of English
European
major
influence, yeah.
And so, I mean, for us, coming out of Ireland was U2 at the time, Thin Lizzy before them, but then the, you know, Big Country and the Waterboys were really the first kind of bands to hear the Celtic rock.
They had the hybrid.
Imagine it, yeah. And they were big influences. But then also having Americans in the band who weren't familiar with those bands, they brought their own influences, and so that's really what we are. We really are a blend of the. You know, this traditional comes maybe more from us, but Bren and I weren't really into traditional music in Ireland.
We never played Irish music in Ireland.
So it was only when you come out here and you realize people will pay you lots of money on St. Patrick's Day to sing about tragedy and death and drinking.
They still are, don't
works very well. Well, when you're going up against the metal of the 80s, was that a battle to push through and get some attention to get some gigs?
We had, you know, I had a bar in L.A. way early on that we started at, and that was We played there on Saturday night.
You had to create your own venue.
And we were about to do Club Lingerie up in Hollywood, which was the place where all the, you know, the bands were, the rock bands were playing. And
yeah,
we sort of had no business.
Hang on, well, back up. Club Lingerie?
Yeah, Club Lingerie. Not quite as interesting as it sounded. But we went up there. But what we did was we hired a bus. And it was a Santa Monica normal bus. We put a keg of beer on it. We told everybody free booze if you come to our gig. And we packed the lingerie. And
we filled our lingerie.
But yeah, but we ended up, we were about to go on, and our manager came out and said, they won't pay me. They said, these people didn't all come to see, because it was paid to play. They said, they didn't all come to see you. He says, don't go on till I tell you. It's official. Well, we're waiting backstage and we're getting upset. So we go on, and I just said to the audience, who came to see us? And the whole place screams, and my manager gives us the thumbs up, and we went, and that was our first Hollywood. And then the House of Blues opened, and we ended up selling it out, I think, 40 times or something by the end of it. And so it just became, we kind of barraged our way in.
Maybe that's maybe that's where some of the hectic schedule comes from. It's just you don't want to stop.
Yep.
You can't stop now, man. We just got this thing going.
Exactly. People can get you in a day.
We have a show that is happening tonight at the Taproot, the epicenter of entertainment in Alaska, and they've got the Young Dubs on stage shortly after 9 o'clock. Orion Donick opening up the evening. This should be a lot of fun. So you can go get the ticket information online at taprootalaska.com or right there at the door. The band is in studio with instruments. Let's play some music. What do you got for us now?
This is one from an older album. This is called Brown Dog.
Takes a pretty strong room to handle the sound of the Young Dubs. It's a small little room here at the KMBA studios, and maybe that word you were thinking I was going to use earlier, I'll use it now, bombastic. Bombastic.
Wait till we plug in.
Yes, exactly.
Wait a minute. It gets louder?
There will be blood in ears.
I'm switching back and forth between different headsets so that I can try to get a little bit of a sound, because I got my old faithfuls here.
Yeah.
I got duct tape on them. Only one side works right now. Is there a similarity here with some classic instruments that you guys have? There's a lot of sound going on. You guys are banging on those instruments. You got some favorites? You got some old knockabouts that you're just loving right now?
This is my favorite.
So this, how long have you had this fiddle that you're holding
in your hands with dust?
I just got this all over it.
I had to repurchase because about, what was it, 6 years ago? 6 years ago, we had all our gear stolen.
Yeah.
In California, believe it or not. And everything was gone. A few guys in the band got stuff back through via eBay and stuff like that. They found it on eBay, but I didn't get any of my stuff back. So I replaced my old fave violin. So now this is my new fave.
Yeah. That's the new one. It's doing well.
Yeah.
Nothing breaks in the middle of a show, does it ever? Gee, I wonder.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Occasionally.
Let's just say if we didn't have a string endorsement, we'd be bankrupt now.
I'm just freaking sweat.
Yeah, there's a lot of damage.
So many different venues right there on the website, youngdubliners.com. Mm-hmm. You got all these nice little shots of all the different venues, everything from Switzerland to Utah to Idaho. The perfect size locations, gorgeous trees, outdoor, indoor. What's been your favorite over the last couple of months? Just something that pops up in your head as one of the cool locations that you've been able to hit.
This has been the first thing we do in the year is usually the St. Patrick's Day thing, you know. So that was, we had some interesting Salt Lake City. We love playing. You know, the depot there is great. And Girdwood, to be honest with you, Alyeska, it goes off every time we're here. That's a heck of a weekend. But the summer is when we get to do the big open air stuff.
Yeah, Switzerland was awesome. Yeah, that was a great festival we did over there. And we're going to...
That's a heck of a weekend. But the summer is when we get to do the big open air stuff.
Yeah,
International.
We're heading to Scandinavia, too, at the end of June.
Yeah, they throw festivals just in such a classy way over there. You know, it's a huge village backstage. You get to meet a lot of the musicians and, you know, eat well and enjoy the whole kind of vibe over there. But then, you know, we come back here, and most of the ones you'll see us doing are ones we've done before, because we love to you know, that one you mentioned in Idaho, Music on Main, one of my favorite shows we do. You know, it's just a tiny little place outside Jackson Hole, but
yeah,
you know, 5,000 people show up.
What is the biggest? What's the biggest venue you guys have played at? What's that stage that you just looked out and suddenly thought, okay, this is different?